Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Praise God. Are you excited to be in church tonight? Are you ready for a good dose of the Word of God? Please sit up in heavenly places. There is sound in God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words,
long preserved for our work.
For our world.
Resound
in God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words for the Word of God is not to entertain you. The Word of God is to change you. The Word of God is to change you. That's the essence. The real reason we listen to God's Word is not so that we can be entertained. The real reason we listen to God's Word is not so that we can be loaded with knowledge, because knowledge in itself will puff up. But the reason we receive the Word of God into our spirit is so that the Word of God will change us. The Bible says, be not conformed with this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we have said it over and over again that the word transformed there means a change of form. Something that is changed, metamorphosis, that is, it moves from one level to another. And the Bible says, we all with open faces, beholding as it were the glory of God in his word as we behold it, we are changed. I pray tonight that the word of God will bring the desired change. I didn't hear you say louder. Amen. The word of God will transform our lives. The word of God will shift our perspectives. The word of God will give us the balance that is required. In the name of Jesus, the word of God will decide the way you live your life. The word of God will dictate the way you reason, the way you think, and the way you act. In the name of Jesus, God has given us his word so that our lives will be made. And I'm sure that something is happening to you. You are being made by the word of God. Are we here together? Glory to God. Can you say tonight, Holy Spirit, as I listen to your word, let your word change my life. Let your word transform me. Let your word cause me to experience light. In your light, I see light. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, just before we start, tonight I have my friend in the house, Pastor Prophet Michael. God bless you, man of God. Yes, so thanks for coming. Thanks for choosing to be around this evening. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. So I'm just going to go straight from where we stopped last week. I realized that last week, somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit took over the service. He's still in charge of the service. Just that we're going to teach a little bit today. How many of us are excited about the fact that we're going to hear the word of God today? Yes, glory to God. So I started talking about God, and I was talking about the existence of God, and I started laying the foundation, helping us understand that there are a lot of people everywhere that believe that there is no God for one reason or the other. They try to argue the existence of God. And you as a believer, you're wondering, is that what I'm supposed to focus on? Oh, yes. Because we live in the world of knowledge. And the Bible says that in the last days, knowledge will increase. And as knowledge is increasing, if a child of God is not loaded with adequate knowledge, you will sound like a fool in the midst of people. You see, you want to sound like somebody who understands what you are following. The Bible says when any person asks you a question about the hope that you have in Christ Jesus, he said that you will have an answer to give to every man. So God wants us to be intellectuals in the Word. God wants us to have knowledge of the Word of God. There should be some level of spiritual intelligence and illumination, because it gives you edge. Knowledge breeds confidence. Knowledge breeds courage. If you have knowledge, you'll be courageous. You'll be able to face anything. If you have knowledge, you'll be confident. You'll be able to stand. But if you lack knowledge, you bow your head in shame. And none of us will bow our head in shame in the name of Jesus. So that's what we're trying to do, so that we can help us understand. And I said a few things last week, and I'm going to lay foundation. How do we know that God exists? How do we know that God exists? I laid the foundation last week. I'm not going back there, because I want to answer three powerful questions in this service today. Number one, we know that God exists because everybody everywhere has an inner sense of God. There is an inner sense. There is a knowing. Even without the spirit bearing witness with our spirit, the whole world, something within human beings tells them that there is a superior intelligence that made all things. But as a result of sin and the fallen state of men, the Bible says in the book of Romans that they decide to suppress the truth about God. He said, although they know him to be God, their understanding being darkened, they refused to acknowledge him as God. He said, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. In other words, they knew him. There is an inner knowing that there is God. But they tried to deny this truth. They tried to say, no, it doesn't exist. Are we here together? So God clearly says that although they knew God, they did not glorify him. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. As God, were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why? Although they knew him, they did not want to recognize him as God. So the Bible said because of that, they were not even thankful, you know, that God is their God. He said, but they became futile in their thoughts. In other words, they became unfruitful, unproductive. They were imagining a lot of vain things in their thoughts. And the Bible says here, and because of that, their foolish hearts became darkened. So the more they try to get light, the more darkness they experience. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? The more they try to say they want to know God, even though that they have said in their heart that there's no God, so they are trying to press into it. God says, no, you cannot come to God that way. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You cannot go into the journey of searching for God until you come with the foolishness of faith. Is anybody getting what I'm saying this evening? Are you getting what I'm saying now? I will show you why a lot of intellectuals in the world and philosophers cannot know God. Except they break down. It takes a broken and a contrite heart to find him. The Bible says the Lord will reveal himself to those that fear him. Are we here together, church? So I laid that foundation last week. I said, these are how we get to know God, is that everybody has an inner sense that there is God, even though some people deny it. Number two, I said we believe in the evidence that we find in scripture for us as believers. We believe in the evidence that we find in scripture. The word of God says, in the beginning, God created. In other words, the Bible is not trying to argue the existence of God. The Bible is not trying to question the existence of God. If not, it would have started by saying, in the beginning. Explanations will now start flowing about the source of God, the existence of God, the beginning. No, that the book starts by saying, in the beginning, God created. In other words, the book is trying to say that anything you ever think about, before you talk of creation and nature, God created. God created. Are we here together? So that it is foolishness for you to look at nature and attribute everything that God made to nature itself as if nature made itself. And I shared with us last week about the intelligence that we can find in nature. When you go around and you see the plants all over the world, when you go around and you see the galaxies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, you see the constellation of stars in their arrangement and the beautiful array and how magnificent God has made all these things. There is nothing you want to say but say, oh Lord my God, how excellent art thou in all thy ways. You look at the animal, you look at the forest, you look at the animals rather, you look at the forest, you look at how God has made the whole cycle. everything just flowing like that, it shows that there is a being that is doing a calculation clearly. It is not a trial and error. And the Bible reveals to us that what God did is not a trial and error. You read Genesis chapter 1, you begin to see everything that God did. The Bible trying to explain that the lesser lights to rule at a particular time. Go to Genesis chapter 1 verse, let's go somewhere around verse 18. Let's see. God called the light day and darkness he called the night. So evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, very good. Go ahead. And God said, let the light be in the firmament, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So God is doing, this is an intentional work. It's not something that just happened. You can see practically how everything was made. He said, first God made the firmament and divided. Can you do NLT so that it's easy to change all this firmament and grammar, you know, NLT. Okay. So, and that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters from the earth and waters from the heavens. In other words, there are waters that gather somewhere in the earth, the sea, the ocean, and there are waters that gather somewhere in the heavens. When Noah had the experience with the ark, the Bible says the fountain of the great deep was burst open. Then waters were not just pouring from the heavens when Noah's ark was, when the flood of Noah came. It was not just water from heaven. Water was coming from heaven and from underneath the earth. It was dangerous. In other words, there's water stored up under. Where do you get your borehole water from? And there's water stored up there. Where do you get rain from? So we are hanging in between water. Can you see how God is? And you just imagine sometimes when you fly, you just see how that there's a thick cloud sometimes, and when the plane is moving, it's as if the cloud is hitting the plane and there is a movement. All these things God has made. It did not just happen like that. The Bible clearly explained this. It says God called the space sky, the evening passed, the morning came, marking the second day. Now go ahead now. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together in one place, so dry ground may appear. And that is what happened. Verse 10. God called the dry ground what? Land. And the waters he called what? Seas. And God saw it was what? Good. Creation very clear. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. Every sort of seed bearing plants and trees that grow seed bearing fruits. This seed will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came. And that is what happened. In other words, God used his mouth to control nature. So he told all the seeds that ground you will bear fruit. Now ground will bear the fruit. He said you will have a seed. Ground had a seed. He said the seed that you have now will be the generation for many other seeds. So that the day this one dies and the seed drops, the seed will bring another one. So that there is continuity in nature. God decided everything. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he upholds all things by the words of his power. By the word of his power. In other words, there is power in the word of God. When he says a thing, it comes to pass. Are we here together, church? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? So you see it now very clear. And God saw that it was good. Go ahead now. Go ahead. It's a good place to read. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, let great lights appear in the sky to separate the day from what? The night. Let them mark off seasons, days, and what? Years. That is how the whole planet was formed. And as you speak, 100 billion. Choir, help me here. Help me here.
In the vapor of your breath.
In the vapor of your breath, the planet forms.
If the stars are made to worship, so will I.
So he appeared and everything he spoke, everything started happening just like that. Just like that. Exactly the way he wanted it. The Bible says these lights in the sky shine down on the earth. That is what you call the sun. And that is what happened. So he told the light. He said, I want to create great lights and lesser lights. Now go back to the verse 15. Okay, look at it now. 16 exactly. He made two great what? Lights. The sun and what? The moon. The larger one to govern when? And the smaller one to govern when? And he also made the what? Then somebody who was born yesterday says he's a philosopher, an lecturer, and he's explaining something that he does not understand. Where did he get his own explanation from? He got it from Charles Darwin. Where did Charles Darwin get his explanation from? And it will get to the bus stop where nobody can answer. And we'll get to the end and say, somebody must have gotten it from a superior being. And God clearly said that these things were written by Moses. And where did Moses get it from? He said, from God. And the proof that Moses got it from God is that Moses had an encounter with God 40 days. You cannot stay with God 40 days and not write a whole book. That's why he wrote the 5 of them. He had the insight, because I will show you again that God, no man can know God except God chooses to reveal himself. Are you getting what I'm just saying now? So God decided to reveal himself, and look at all the things that he did here. The smaller one to govern the night, and that's why at night the sun is still shining, but shadow is cast somewhere, so that the reflection, the moon, the lesser light, it does not have enough power to power itself. So it gets from the sun. God positioned the sun where it is. God positioned the moon where it is. God positioned the galaxies everywhere. And he decided the rotation of the earth and the revolution. Everything by himself with the words of his word mouth. That's why John chapter 1 said very clear. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He said all things were made by him. By who? Him. Him is who? The word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everything was made by him. Everything was made by him. Glory to God. So right there in Genesis, you'll be able to read everything about the creation and how God made the sun, the moon, the stars. God decided the years. God decided the seasons. So in this part of the world, we have rainy and dry season. Is that not? Yes, we have the rainy season. We have the dry season. Then in other part of the world, they have summer. They have winter. They have autumn. They have spring. Is that not? Different times, season, different time zone, something happening here. By the time you are waking up tomorrow, somebody already woke up to May 17. What's tomorrow? 15. Somebody is already in May 15. Somebody is in May 14. So you said Happy New Year because the year is new to you. Somebody already said it. Are we here together? That's funny. Some people are 6 hours away from where we are. Some people are almost 10 hours away like that. You just discover that, wow, this time difference is serious. God made it. It's not a magic. It's a practical calculation. Science can calculate it. The reason why science can calculate is that God gave science ability to calculate. Because if nobody can calculate it, we will all be living in a mysterious world. We will all be confused. There will be no education. There will be no learning. God wants learning to exist. Why did he do that? He wants men to have a little bit of the glimpse of the glory and the power that he possesses. So he gave science the ability to demystify a little bit of it. So that when they are explaining it to us, we are saying, wow, wow, wow. But who takes the glory? God. 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 Are we here together, church? Make any sense to anybody here now? So we get our own evidence from scripture. Then nature itself proves that the sophistication and intelligence in nature is the handwork of a superior intelligence, and that being is referred to as God. So I've already explained scripture and I've explained nature at the same time. Are we here together now? So from scripture we get our own as believers because we have the word of God. Those who don't believe the word of God, the Bible says even nature itself should teach you. So you learn from nature. So if somebody tries to prove the existence of God and they say, don't bring the Bible, don't bring the Bible. Okay, let's go to nature. Hello? Are we here together? Let's go to nature. Let's go to nature. You, human being, when you sleep and you wake up, who brings you up? The psalmist said, I slept, I lay down to sleep, and I woke up. He said, it is the Lord that sustains me. In other words, that means nobody can determine whether a person will sleep and wake up or not. Then God woke up one day and he said, I am he that killeth and I make alive. So I decided, I can decide it. And many times in scripture, he decided to prove it. One time he came to the rich fool and said, tonight your life will be taken. And it was taken that night. And another time Jesus speaking, said, fear not the person who cannot destroy the soul. He said, fear not the man who destroys only the body. But fear God who can destroy the body and cause the soul to perish eternally in hell. In other words, everything is still attributed to God. Are we here together? Does it make any sense to you today? Very good. Then that's number three. Then the universe cannot claim to create itself because God himself named the universe. Are we here together? Are you getting what I'm saying? God himself named the universe. He called one day. He called one night. He appeared and he called everything that he needed to call. And somebody will say, you are still getting your evidence from scripture. Okay, let's assume scripture does not exist now. Let's assume scripture does not exist. And you look at the waters. You look at the ocean. You look at the animal kingdom. Then you look at yourself, man. Let's not even go far. Just look at yourself. And just see how. You know how many times your heart beats? Huh? Do you think it is possible for a bang to just happen and all of us will be created and we will have possessed the same kind of physiognomy, like our physique? We have eyes here in front. Some of us should have had it at the back or under your chest or somewhere. Your ears would have been hidden somewhere in your armpit. So when you want to hear, you do like this. Say it again. There must be an intelligent being that has calculated it, that if the ear stays like this, it will receive more signal than when it is turned backwards. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. There must be an intelligent being that has carefully calculated it in such a way that I can sit down here, eat something, and it will digest, and it has a passage where it will come out from. It is not possible that there's just nothing. You see, it takes a very foolish heart to think that the only way we can conclude the existence of man is that there is a superior being. If you choose not to call him God, you choose to call him anything. All I know is that there is a superior being that exists, and his name is Yahweh. Whatever name any other person chooses to call God, that's their business. But if their God does not have the attribute of the God that we understand, the God of the Bible, there is fault in their understanding. There's an error in their understanding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? Is it making any sense to you? You leave human being and you start looking at animals one by one. Just imagine all the animals. When God called man to name the animals, you saw what Adam did. He named all of them. The Bible says whatever it is Adam called them was exactly what God would have loved to call those animals. It takes an intelligent being to have done all these things. Then God gave men the privilege of naming some animals, and they would have thought that they named those animals by themselves, and they forget that man is blank without the sense and the atom of God inside of him. You know why no man will perish eternally, as in just blank out of space? You know, there's some religion that says that when we die, we blank out of space. Some of them just imagine that we'll just disappear. We evaporate into... What are psychology students? They've been teaching you plenty of confusion. Just remind us of your confusion. Remind us of some of the confusion they told you. Philosophy. Philosophy student. Remind us of some of the confusion that people will blank into air. Then they will give different religions to try to explain. You understand that things just happen by chance. Do you get what I'm trying to say here right now? Now, you need to understand that nothing happens by chance. Because God explains from scripture. He said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. That's his own explanation. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I established last week again that all people have an inner sense of God. I talked about the evidence of God and all those things. I tried to lay a foundation of. Can we know God? Let's talk a little bit about that. I'll answer three of the questions I want to answer tonight. And if you have questions, which I expect that we probably will have questions, then we'll be able to answer some of them. Can we really know God? And if we can know God, how much of God can we really know? That's the question. Can we really know God? And if it is possible that man can know God, the question will be, how much of God can man really know? You must understand that if we are to know God, it is necessary that he himself will reveal himself to us. Because before we came here, he already existed. Are we here together? He's been in existence before we showed up here. So if we need any explanation of God, God will have to reveal himself to us. And that's why I explained that Moses got to know God by God's divine revelation. God revealed himself to who? To Moses. He had an encounter with God. He stayed with God for how many days? 40 days. And within the span of that 40 days, the Bible says when he came out, people could not behold his face. His face began to shine massively. The brightness and the glory of God was so much on the face of Moses that the children of Israel could not stand him. He had to put a veil to cover himself. He had to cover himself to discuss with them. And as soon as he stayed very long with them, it looks like the glittering nature of God begins to fade. He will hide again and go get some energy. Like battery that is charging, then show up again. It was in the New Testament that God told us that the reason Moses was doing that is because that glory was fading. He said, but now we have a glory that does not fade. Are you hearing what I'm saying here right now? We have a glory that does not fade. The image of the invisible God lives inside of us. We are complete in Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? So if we ever will get to know God, God will have to reveal himself to us. Even if we need to know him through nature, he has to still reveal himself. Romans chapter 1 verse 19. See what he says there. Romans chapter 1 verse 19. Romans chapter 1 verse 19. He says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. How? How? What may be known of God is manifest in where? How? So if God did not show it, you will not know it. If God chooses to veil himself, see, if you read the book of Job, I don't know why I didn't pick that again. If God chooses to veil himself, you will never know anything. He can cover himself and you will not know him. He can be so hidden that it will be difficult and you'll be wondering, where is God? Where does he live? I asked you last time when we were in church here, I said, if God created the heaven and the earth, where was he before he created the heavens and the earth? Another time we'll read somewhere and we'll say that he lives in lights unapproachable. Is that not? Lights unapproachable. Another time somebody will say, okay, maybe that means, that's why some people worship light, illumination, illuminati. That God is light, enlightenment, knowledge, that he lives in light. So he is light. No, God is not light. He's beyond light. No human mind can fully fathom and explain God. You know why? Because we are limited. We are finite and he is infinite. Are you getting what I'm saying now? He's the infinite God. So it is difficult for us to be able to say we want to get a full grasp of everything that God is. But can we really know God? Yes. How much of God can we know? That's the question. The more I know you, the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you. The more I know you, is the more I want to know you. Jesus, more of you. Do you know that even with the knowledge that we have in salvation, it is because God decided to reveal himself that we can be saved? Look at the Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. See what the Bible says. If he does not reveal himself, we cannot. It says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. He said, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In other words, that you have come to God today, many of us, you would think you came to God by yourself. You didn't come by yourself. He said, no one can come to the Father except the Father draws him. There is the pulling influence of God that brought you. The day you said, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you exist. Listen, you did not make that decision just by yourself like that. There was a pulling influence. He said, from the foundation of the world, there are certain people that have been chosen and elected. When his voice is released at different times in our lives, any day that appears to be the day of salvation for that person, he will hear the voice. That is why every opportunity I have to make an altar call in church, I will make, because I cannot tell the day that is the day of a person's salvation. But people can be seated in church for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and they are still experimenting. They might like music. They might like gathering in the midst of people. They like fellowship, but they have not encountered Jesus. The knowledge of God, when it is revealed to a person's heart, there is an irresistible influence. It is called the drawing power of God. He will pull you by himself. You will wonder how you will just be in tears. That's why sometimes when people are accepting Christ in their hearts and they stroll chewing gum, I always ask myself, is this person coming to be born again? How many of you want to be born again? That's true. Lord Jesus. Okay. Then they go back to their house and they are living exactly the same way. You have not known God. Which God did you know? Is it the thrice holy God that you know? The one that the angels stand before and they shout, holy, holy, holy. Is it the God that sits in the midst of the cloud in heaven? That there will be thunder and lightning and all manner, and yet nobody can approach. Is it the God that 10,000 of thousands of billions of angels will stand around his throne, yet they don't know him, they have not seen him? Is it the God you encounter? Because if you encounter that God, something will shift in your life. You cannot encounter this God and not have a shift in your life. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never. Maneko saka para ba 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 ba. Sebrege de lebo subrege de libaya. Iza ba 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 ba. Meneko skebrege di 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 di. Rakwana kafaya ga ba 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 ba. My life has changed. A young man will appear before him, just coming from a brothel, step with 2, 3, 4, 5 prostitutes, then appear in a service like this, and he has a genuine encounter with God. He goes back home that day, and all the days of his life, when he sees a brothel, he detests everything happening there. The holiness of God has come in, and now he's hating the things that God hates and liking the things that God likes. That is encounter. You know men who have encountered God when they begin to look like him, when they begin to act like him, when they begin to behave like him. There is a pulling influence of God. The proof that you have met God is that he begins to draw you to become like him. That's a proof. So when people say they know God, no. Sometimes you must ask them, do you know God or you know about God? They're two different things. You can read about the biography of a man, but you have never met the man. When you meet the man, it will be different. You will touch him. You will feel him. Thomas came that day and he said, let me touch you. I have known you all this while. I have known about you. He stayed with Jesus for 3.5 years, but he only knew about Jesus. Every time there was something happening around town, Thomas will argue. And there are many of us, they are ticing Thomas. You still come to church, but whenever they are arguing something on Facebook, you are the number one. You are the number one to fight God on the Facebook. You are the one to attack on Twitter. You are the one everywhere. Yet you come to church, you have not known him yet. For the more I know him, the more I long to know him, Jesus, more of you. You made my life so beautiful. And as you were, you have made me here on earth. There's nothing greater than this. That's why I love you forevermore. You make my life so beautiful. When he comes, he makes your life beautiful. When you encounter him, your life becomes beautiful. You have made me here on earth. There's nothing greater than this. That's why I love you forevermore. And I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, is the more I long to know you, Jesus, more of you. When Thomas encountered him, That day Jesus raised from the dead appeared, and Thomas said, please let me see your hand. I really want to have proofs. I don't want these things to be empty words when I go out, because after now, this day will determine whether I will talk about you or I will go back to my parents' house. This day will determine whether I will crusade you, I'll be a witness, or I will tell men that you never existed. And Jesus said, look at my hands. And immediately the Bible says he put his hands in the hole. As soon as his hand entered the hole, he shouted, my Lord and my God. The day you encounter him, your language will change. Saul encountered him on his way to Damascus. And as soon as the light came from heaven and hit Saul, he fell down. The first thing that came out from his mouth, he said, who art thou, my Lord? You have known him. You always say, I know Jesus, but you don't know him as Lord. When he becomes Lord, he will be in charge. You are still in charge because he's not yet Lord. When he becomes Lord, he will be in charge. When he becomes Lord, he will take control. When he becomes Lord, you will surrender all. I surrender all to you. And everything I give to you. And I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, I'm withholding nothing, withholding nothing, I'm withholding nothing, withholding nothing. The Samaritan woman met him at the well. And after she encountered him, she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. I perceive it. In other words, her sense of discernment was awakening immediately. Something inside of her began to call and say, you have met the Messiah. Before Jesus finished the conversation, she ran to the street and said, come and see. I have met a man. The Messiah that they spoke about, I have seen him. I have met him. He has turned my life. He has told me everything that I have ever done with my life. Come and see. Until your message becomes come and see, you have not known him. If you still hide the Jesus you know, something is wrong. Because if you really know this Jesus, you will go everywhere you want to talk about him. You will not be able to hold back. You want to tell somebody about the experience. You want to tell somebody about the sweet and beautiful experience you have had with him. You want to share with somebody the encounters that you are having with him. A songwriter wrote and he said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. I am now a heir of salvation. Kapanamana. Portrait of God. Born of his spirit. Washed. After that encounter, you will have a story. If you don't have a story, who did you encounter? This is my story. And this is my song, praising my Savior all that day long. Kanamanaka ba 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 ba. So this is my story. And this is my song. Praising my Savior. Men who encountered God in songs, look at the lines of their songs. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I in my Savior, I'm happy and blessed. I am watching and wait. When you encounter him, his coming will be important to you. Looking above, I'm filled with his goodness. I'm lost in his love. This is my story. This is my story. And this is my song. Praising my Savior all that day long.
story. This is my song. Praise Him, my Savior. All that they love.
When somebody asks you, why do you have this hope in Jesus? You must have a story. We must have a story. Who you used to be and who you have become now. That is the story. The encounter is that there was somebody you know. There's an image of somebody you know that you are no longer. You know that I used to know this guy. But something has happened to me. I am no longer the person I used to be. Goodbye, world. I stay no longer with you. And goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stay no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way for the rest of my life. You will know that you have encountered Him. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know Him. That they might know Him. This is eternal life. How do we get to know it? He said, encountering Him is eternal life. The one and only begotten Son of the Father. When you meet Him, when you meet Him, there must be a change. When you encounter Him, something will happen. You will be able to tell yourself, I have discovered there is something inside of me. There will be a well breaking forth inside of you. He said, when you have encountered Him, out of your belly, rivers will begin to flow. The woman went to the well to fetch water, but the river came to the well. The river sat by the well, and the river told her, you don't need to fetch from here, fetch from me. And by the time He spoke to the woman, He gave her from the river. She left her bucket because she has taken from the river, and she ran like a mad person. Out of her belly began to flow the same river of life. The Bible said because of that woman, many people got saved. What will happen when people encounter you? When they encounter you, what happens? When people meet you, what happens? There must be something happening when people meet you. You must be a unique dimension of God. That when people encounter you, they will say, we have encountered a dimension of God. I have encountered somebody that has a touch of God inside of them. I talked about the salt of the earth today. And those of us who pay attention, you must have heard those things. When people meet you, there must be something. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Hi, I am the hope of a dying world. Mavis is the hope of a dying world. Mavis is the hope of a dying world. That I am here, God believes that there is hope. That I am here, God believes that there is hope. That I am here, God believes that men will not perish completely. I will save some. I will bring some. Unto some having compassion, hating their garments, spotted with the flesh, snatching them from the fire. This is our calling. This is our assignment. You will know when you have met God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. Let me get back to teaching tonight before we wrap up. I feel so much in my spirit. I just feel so filled with the goodness of God. My heart indicts a good matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 21. He said, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. In other words, when God revealed His wisdom to men, the world through human wisdom, they could not know God. He said, it pleased God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. In other words, God said, since they cannot know me through nature, since I try to explain myself to them in other means, they will not. I will use a story that sounds so stupid and foolish. I will use a story that sounds so nonsensical for anybody to believe. Sometimes, even yourself, are there not days you sat down and you ask yourself, wait, that they told me a story that Jesus died and He will say, that's why I am here like this. Ah, me too, I've questioned it. Oh. I've questioned it. I said, how did they get this story that they just told us that Jesus died, He was raised, He was buried? This thing sounds like a cock and bull something. But God said He chose to use it in foolishness. He knows by Himself that it sounds foolish, but He's not here for the wise in the flesh. He's here for those who are ready in their hearts to come and say, God, you are not here. We don't have the ability to argue what you have said. If God says something that is foolish, it is the highest level of wisdom. If foolishness comes out of the mouth of God, it is the height of wisdom in the balance of men. Well, you didn't get what I just said. So God said he chose, he pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who do what? Believe. Go ahead. Verse 22. He said, for Jews requested a sign. I told us last week, is that not? They'll say, show us a sign. Don't tell us. You cannot, don't tell us if there is God. Why this? He said, calm down. He said, the Greeks are seeking after what? Wisdom. They want explanation. Prove it to me. Show me this. Show me that. He said, that is what they're looking for. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. That is what we preach. They say, okay, show us the signs. He said, we forget anything you guys are saying is your business. We preach Christ crucified. So the Jews, when they hear it, is a stumbling block. Because they are saying, stop telling us stories. Show us a sign. And to the Greeks, when they hear it, they say, you are sounding foolish. But look at it. He said, but to those of us who are called, God has called us from the foundation of the world. That is why our hearts can connect to it. Those of us who are called, not everybody is called. Because we do not know all the people who are called, that is why we go everywhere preaching. Peradventure, we'll find some of those who are called, because not everybody is called. The door is open to all, but the Bible says many are called, few are chosen. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? It says, but to those of us who are called, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when they say they want a sign, Christ is the sign. They say they want to see power. Christ is the power. They explain another thing to us. Don't tell us that story. They say, guys, this is the story. That Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised to life again. And whoever received him has what? Eternal life. That is the long and short of what? The gospel. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That he has paid. He paid the price already. They say, you have to explain this God in a better way to us. You cannot say, you say, no, this is the explanation. This is eternal life, that they might know him. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? Is it making sense to somebody here today? Yes. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than, he didn't say wiser than men's wisdom. He said it's wiser than men. It's wiser than, the foolishness of God is wiser than humanity. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. In other words, when God is at his weakest, he's stronger than the strongest of men. That's why when Paul said, I am weak, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Is anybody getting what I'm preaching tonight? Am I preaching good tonight? He said, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh. In other words, not many people who say they are professors. That's why when we talk this thing, some people will be angry. They will be vexed. It's not by being vexed. You can hang transformer, it does not change anything. You can be angry and enter Red Sea, it does not change anything. This is the definition. That somebody can go to school and read books and have doctor until he needs a doctor. It doesn't change the fact that I will come with the simplicity of Christ and I say, Jesus Christ crucified is the Lord. He said, I don't like this. I'm a very intellectual person. I am logical. That's your business. Logic is sheer to get direction more. I'm a very logical person. I like to be logical in my approach. You know, God said men in their wisdom, they could not find God. All their logic scattered. If you sit on a table where they are playing draft and chess, can you stay in front of God play? Who are you? All the whole chess, whatever, all of them will disappear. And the king will just stand in the middle. And so, yeah, play. He will play alone. It's like a man who wants to find God. And this man, a wise man, story was told how he saw a young guy that has been questioning God. The guy has been thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. So when he was thinking, as they were passing the side of the ocean, the elderly man looked at him and he said, you seem to be pondering about something. You've been walking around this ocean for a long time. What exactly is happening? What's happening to you? And the guy said, no, there is something I'm going to calculate in my mind. I'm trying to explain. He said, explain. I want to demystify God. I want to break for, I want to understand God. As the guy was saying, the old man looked at him. He said, I am old. You are young. I've heard a lot of people talk about these things, but they have never found answers. He said, no, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I know what I'm doing. I'm a very smart and intelligent person. He was calculating. He was moving. Kai. Then the old man stood aside. He went to the table. He picked a spoon and he gave the young man. He said, take. The guy took the spoon. He dug a small hole and left it. And he said, please, help me empty this ocean in this hole. And the boy said, no, that's not possible. It's illogical. That's foolish. That's insane. He said, wow. He said, no, help me empty this ocean in this hole with this spoon. Ah. He said, no, you can't say that. That's illogical. It's foolish. It's not. It doesn't sound like it. He said, that is the definition of you. Because a finite mind like that small hole wants to empty a whole ocean inside itself. He said, you cannot know him. You cannot know him that way. It is not possible for you to demystify and understand the mind. It's like a wristwatch trying to say, I want to explain the mind of the horologist or whoever that created the watch. No. The one who created the watch knows why he puts its gear where it is. The watch cannot be asking, I want to know you. It is this one that's saying, I can upgrade you. I don't know if you get what I'm saying here right now. The guy left there that day and he knew that he was really very foolish. Very foolish and stupid, because as he said it, the man said exactly what you just said now. It is illogical, it is foolish, it is stupid, it is insane. He said, that is the definition of who you are. For you have tried, what you're doing now is like someone trying to empty this ocean in this small pool. It is impossible. And the guy went back home, confounded. He was just looking so stupid, flabbergasted, bewildered. And that was the end of the story. That was the end. And that's why when our search for God, it is the little you can take from the ocean that he has put inside that hole that the hole can hold. The more he fills the hole, the highest the hole can hold is probably a bucket. And if the hole holds a bucket, very soon what the hole is holding will soon sink into the sand. It's going back to the ocean. Everything you know of God came from him and goes back to him. How much can you know? So when men are arguing God, I don't know what they are trying to do. When men are trying to explain and say they want to know everything about God. You cannot know everything about God. You can only know what is given to you, revealed. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? 2 Corinthians, let's leave this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 to 4. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Whom the God of this world, the age, has blinded. Those who do not do what? Believe. They are blinded because they refuse to do what? Believe. Because the only way to know God is to come by what? Believing. That's why when you see all these gatherings, these Islamic crusades they do, that they will now say all the Christians in the area should come and argue with them and come and say this, come and prove yourself. You now see some Christians carry their Bible. They are going to assist to argue with them. Listen, how do you think it is possible? It sounds very stupid what I'm saying right now, but that is the answer. It is like standing in front of a baby that is 1 year old, or let's say 6 months or 2 months, and you are explaining further maths. I said, divide the X equals to Q, you escape. The guy will lie. By the time the baby is hungry, he starts what? Crying. You know why? There is nothing they can understand but God. If they like, let them carry the Bible and say, open your Bible, prove it. They cannot know what is written there. It is only given to those that it is revealed to. And it is not revealed to them because they have come with a heart of pride. They have come with a heart that is hardened. And God does not reveal anything like that. A broken and a contrite heart, then he will reveal himself. So the scholars of the Islamic world and the Hindu and the Buddhist world, whatever religion, at the height of their scholarship, in presence of the scripture, they stand foolish. Like 0-year-old babies. Why? Because nobody can know him except he reveals. I can read this Bible as a clear letter, simple letter, but the letter kill it. It is the spirit that gives life. If the spirit behind it does not explain, you cannot understand. So when they are trying, I laugh and I say, you cannot understand. Sir, it's a closed book. They have not given you the privilege and the access to know it. We are privileged to know it. We are privileged to know it. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? That is why every time we feel humbled. There's no pride in saying, I know it all. No, the Bible says the man who thinks that he knows, he has not known as much as he ought to know. There is still so much to know. Guy, there is still so much to know. So when somebody says, I have known it all, and they are bragging, I see some young people on internet, on Facebook, bragging. They want to demystify God, commercialize God. God is thirst. God is thirst. In my mind, I say, hey, foolishness class 1. Why? The Bible says, those who think they have no, let me show you this. You will see it. Everything is in scripture. Tell your neighbor, everything is there. Everything is there. Everything is there. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. Yes. Give me NIV or NLT. Makes it very easy. He said, now, about food sacrificed to idols, that's what he's talking about. He said, we know that we all possess what? Knowledge. But knowledge puffs up, while love does what? Builds up. Then look at what it says. Read it, everybody here now. Those who think they know something do not yet know as... So there is still knowing to know. So when somebody thinks that they have gotten to the height of knowledge, God tells them, you have just started. There's so much you don't know yet. That's why Paul came. And when Paul was explaining the mysteries, he said these are the things that were hidden from prophets like Isaiah, Zechariah, Amos, Jeremiah. He said God has chosen. It's not because we are too much. He said God has chosen that in this dispensation he will reveal it to us. He said what is exactly the thing? He said what they do not know is Christ living inside men and becoming the hope of glory. They never knew about it. The prophets never saw it. They prophesied of a generation that will come where Christ will live inside of men. They spoke about these things, but they were talking in dark speeches. For those who were speaking yet did not know what they were saying. But we came to a dispensation where God said, take off the veil. No more veil. No more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face. No more veil, no more limitation. I can now see Jesus face to face, face to face, face to face. I can now see Jesus
face to face,
face to face,
face to face.
I can now see
Jesus.
Let me quickly wrap up the things I want to say. So sinful people, it is not given to them to know God. Any person who encounters God, it is the illumination of the heart. That is why the Bible says that with the heart man believes. When the light of God enters your heart, then you can believe. The reason they have not yet believed, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their eyes, those who do not believe. So believing starts when God releases light into your heart. And that's why we pray for unbelievers and say, Father, let the light of the glorious gospel shine upon their heart. Let the light penetrate so that when we go out, they will hear our voice. So that when we speak, they will listen. Because by themselves, they cannot respond to the call. They are deaf to the voice of him. Until he opens their ears, they cannot hear. That's why you see people argue a lot of things, say all manner of things, they cannot hear. They are deaf. But when the gospel comes and God opens their heart, then they can see. So for people to know God, God reveals himself to them. Have you gotten that answer right now? Very good. So when somebody says that, I can know it, bring down your Bible, I'll tell you everything. You look and they say, Boju, the Oloro has born. Oh, you can never. So when somebody picks it up and says, we can know it. Is it not English? It is written in English. It is decoded by a spirit. English is the lowest of language. In fact, English cannot even explain the fullness. When you read some of the things you read in English in the Greek text and in the Hebrew text, you will know how shallow English is. As English has even tried to water it down, you are still arguing in English. In fact, I'm not supposed to talk to that person in English. I should look at me and say, kakapai kapanos kaparadash. Brenekos keprante inakuska. He said, what are you saying? You're saying rubbish. I say, yes. Krubasai kapanante. Eliekos kaparante parusha. Howbeit, I speak in an unknown tongue. I am speaking mysteries. He said, you are talking rubbish. But heaven is saying, Kai, I can just hear everything you are saying, Mavis. Everything. So we must know that we are a different species. God has given us the privilege and the honor. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called the sons of God. He said, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall look like, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Does anybody get what I'm saying today? God will give you understanding hearts. May God give you understanding hearts. Yes, yes. It is given to us to know. Matthew chapter 13 verse 11. Let me show you some things about being given to us to know. Matthew chapter 13 verse 11. I'll read a few scriptures today. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You know, because it has been given to you to know. To them, he said, it has not been given. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 10. Open it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 10. Let's just look very, very fast. 1 Corinthians. He said, but as it is written, eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of the man, the things which God had prepared for those who do what? Love him. Then verse 10 makes it clear. He said, but God has revealed them to us. Through who? The Spirit. For the Spirit is the Google search and the AI machine of God. Yes, he searches the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit is the AI of the believer. He's the SI, spiritual intelligence. Yes, SI. Yes. Men work with artificial intelligence, but he works with spiritual intelligence. And the Bible makes us know that all things spiritual are higher than everything natural and artificial. And that's why there are certain dimensions of knowledge God will bring us into. The world will be asking, where did you get it from? We have never seen it like this. Jesus spoke and they said, what manner of man is this? He said he speaks like one having what? Authority. That the Jews, the Pharisees, they don't talk like this. They said, who is this man? Can I prophesy to somebody? By the revelation of the light and the knowledge of God breaking forth through us, men will wonder the deep things that will come through you. In the name of Jesus, I say men will wonder the mysteries that God will pour forth through your lips. In the name of Jesus, God has revealed himself to us. But he has veiled himself from wicked men. So wicked men cannot know him. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. Those who think they are wise and can demystify God, everything becomes foolish to them. Every time they try, they cannot fathom God. Only God can reveal himself personally. Write it down. Only God can reveal himself personally. How do we know God? Number one, God reveals himself to us personally. Number two, he also reveals himself through scriptures to a humble seeker and not an argumentative and stubborn heart. He reveals himself through scriptures to a humble seeker and not an argumentative and a stubborn heart. I make bold to say tonight that we cannot fully understand God. We can understand God and his ways, but we cannot fully understand him. Psalm 145 says that. Psalm 145, you cannot fully understand God. He said, praise God, I will extol you, O my God, my King, and I will bless you and bless your name forever. Go ahead, I think verse 5 or something, let's go. He said, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be what? Praise. And his greatness is what? Unsearchable. Somebody say unsearchable. That means you cannot search out all of the greatness of God. God can reveal to you a dimension of his greatness. You cannot search out all. He drops one to you. He drops one to me. He drops one there, one there, one there. And in the body of Christ, if it is put together, we can see a whole full dimension of God. But yet, no individual being, no single church, no single teacher, no single denomination, no single prophet, no single apostle can demystify God all by himself. Nobody. Not one. The smartest of teachers all times in history, the best we can do is to quote them and say some scholars have said. At best, they are scholars. But the one who gives wisdom to the scholars is the all-wise. To the end of his greatness, nobody can search. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Am I making sense to somebody here right now? Yes. You cannot fathom the depths of his greatness. You cannot fully understand any single thing about God. You know what that means? You cannot fully understand. Pick one thing. Greatness. You cannot fully understand it. Pick holiness. You cannot fully understand it. Pick wisdom. You cannot fully understand everything about the wisdom of God. You can't understand everything about the power of God. You can't understand everything about the glory of God. You can't understand everything about the grace of God. The Bible talks about the riches of his grace. Unsearchable riches of his grace. Sir, how many do you want to search? How many years do you have to live on the face of planet Earth to search out God? Because when we even enter eternity, we cannot search him out. Eternity is too short to render all our praises. Lord, you are so wonderful. I can't resist your grace, your mercies and your tenderness, all be yours, and I can say, to you, Lord, be glorified. Your name be glorified. In the whole of eternity, he will review dimension one. And by the time we are still calculating one, he will enter another one. By the time we say, let's enter the two, he says, see another one. By the time we try again, he says, see another one. By the time we try again, he says, see another one. God is not just eternal. Listen, eternity itself is time, infinite. God is beyond eternal. That is why even in eternity, we cannot finish performing him. The depth of him cannot be completely known. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Are you sure you understand what I'm saying here? So you see all the wisdom of the world, everybody's chanting everywhere, waking up and saying, science has done this. They have put a chip in the brain of a human being. They are still working with God's raw material. Create your own human being. Create your own. Create your own. Without sperm and ovaries, create your own. Where you finish, we'll still put your own on and off. Patapata, robots, no, Lumaje. You have no jube, that's what it is. Are you getting what I'm saying? But this is God. He decides the switch on button and the switch off. You don't know where the switch on is or where the switch off is. The day he decides that it is on, it is on. The day he decides that it is off, it is off. Oh Lord my God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Are we here together, church? So we can never fully understand his greatness. We can never fully understand his ways. We can never fully understand things about him. No one has so much knowledge of God as to be an island of the knowledge of God. But guess what, church? Listen to me. We can know what he has given to us to know. Whatever he's given, he said the things that are secret, they belong to God. But the ones that are revealed, he said they belong to the sons of men, I and my children, so that God himself will still be glorified. Can you see the God we are talking about here right now? This is the God of the Bible. With these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you about this wonderful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we start our season of immersion, I will be breaking down and explaining scriptures to you in such a wonderful way. Some of you will wonder, but our church is entering a new phase. That's why I'm doing that. Yes, our church is entering a new season. I have thought some things to the level I should teach them because I have felt that we're just doing it. But now we're coming to a new dimension. And I think it is time to unveil things, to make things known, so that people can understand. It's not just that we gather. When we gather, we just feel like saying, well, no. We have come to the place where God has revealed a bit of himself to us. And we're able to share some of this. And you get what I'm saying here right now? A bit from scriptures here and there. These things I'm sharing, they are not mystical. They are simple things in scriptures. But through his wisdom, he has revealed to us step by step to make it simple so that everybody can get it. And can I tell you the truth? If you listen to this message over and again, you also can explain it to anybody. This knowledge is, nobody is an island of it. No matter how anybody tries to stand as a captain and a chairman on this, to him alone be all the glory. For all wisdom and power belongs to him. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Yes. So I would advise you to press into knowing God more and more and more. I know you have questions, but before you ask your questions, I'm going to answer a question that I know a lot of people ask. I intentionally ended the service like this today. I told you last week we were really raptured in the whole thing, but I want us to calm down and be able to grab wisdom. How many of you have ever asked, why is God sometimes silent even when his children are going through trying times? Have you asked the kind of question? Why? What was God watching? What was God looking at when I lost my mom after we prayed and fasted for 50 days, 40 days? What was God looking at when my younger sister was on her way to church and was crushed by a trailer on her way to church or her way back from church? People ask many questions. And sometimes, if we are not careful and thoughtful, we'll begin to go the way of believing that God is not love, God is not good, God is not kind. But remember, when we came to him, he said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not only that, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some of us have asked questions in the lowest moments, because some of the times you doubt the existence of God is when you are in your low ebb, when you are in that moment where you can't just explain why things are happening the way they are happening. You can't explain why bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. Are we here together? Now, you see, God did not hide all these things from us. If you look through the pages of scripture, he showed us examples of people like that. How would you explain the story of Job, a man sitting down in his house, just because Satan and God had a negotiation? And he said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, what about Job? He said, he's a very righteous man. So the reason why Job went through the things he went through was because he was a good man. How about if somebody is going through what they are going through and the CV still has it in heaven, such a perfect person? So such a perfect man as Job can go through some of the things he went through. But whenever we are asking those questions in our pain, we don't see examples in scripture. And the Bible says all these things are written for our examples, so that we, through the learnings and the faith and the hope, will console ourselves whenever we see some of these things happen. Just paraphrasing scripture in that light. We'll be able to look at this through the complete looking for me, through the consolation of scripture, we might have hope. Check it somewhere like that. Something about just somewhere like that. Now, through the consolation of scripture, we might have hope. All these things are written for our learnings. Right? Let me show you before I go ahead to answer that question. No. Right? All these things are written for our learnings. Search that one. They are written for our learning. So through the consolation or hope in scripture, something like that, I want us to get it. It will form the foundation of what I want to say. Has anybody seen it? He said, whatsoever things were written before were written for our what? Learning. How? Why? He said that we, through the patience, nisuru, when you are angry and saying, why? He said, calm down. Through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. Through the patience and the comfort of scripture, that means let the things that are written in scripture comfort you when you're going through your own trying times. When certain things are happening that you cannot explain, let those things that are written in scripture do what? Comfort you. He said these things were written before time for our own learning. So the story of Job was written so that somebody will ask, who is asking, why does good things happen to bad people? Bible says go and read Job. Did Job know what was happening in his life? No. Could Job explain it? No. Did Job explain his grief and agony and pain? Yes. Even Job started pouring out many things from his mouth. He started saying all manner of things. He started saying things like, where are you? If you are there. His friends were arguing. He said, it's a lie. I know myself. I didn't do anything wrong. At the point, he said, God should come down and stand. Let them check it and know who is right and who is wrong. Because Job was angry. He was pained. He was bitter. But guess what? In his CV, the CV had Job, a good and upright man, perfect in his ways. Of all the men in the East, perfect. Yet, Job was going through a trying season in his life. Somebody is asking, where was God? And God is saying, I'm sitting in heaven, honey. We are here. We are watching. And God was watching to see whether Job was going to pass a test. To Job, it was a punishment. To God, it was a test. Say, which kind of test be that? First, he won't kill himself. You sat in the examination hall and you are in tears crying. To the examiner, he comes in front and he's laughing. He said, why are you crying? He said, it's so hard. I don't know what to write. He said, why? Why is it hard? Write now, write. You can. He said, I cannot. But to the examiner is a test. Have I taught you here, if you read the book, The Journey, my book on purpose, I said life to God is a test. There are many things we go through we cannot explain. You heard the story of the man who wrote the song, when peace like a river tend at my ways, when sorrows like seas billows roar, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well
with my soul.
His wife and children all got drowned. And he was traveling back. And sailor showed him and said, that is the place where your children, your wife, your daughter, everybody died. And he took out his pen. And all that could come out of his heart is, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like seas billow. So he was still seeing poetry in the sea, in the midst of his pain. Whatever my lot, he said, when they showed him, see where they died. He said, he has taught me to say that it is well with my soul. After that thing happened, he just lost his law firm that caught fire. Everything God wants, his daughters died. But he said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
it is well with my soul.
Job will sit down and ask God, where are you? So Job will be nursing boil. He will just carry, and the boil is there. And Job, like, he will press it, and all the things will come out. And when those things come out like that, Job will sit down. Job, sit down. He said, I can't sit down. Then where is the boil? Is on your butt. And he will sit down. And in the morning, when he wakes up, he will say, Father, thank you for today. Blessed be your holy name. I know you are God that kill and make alive. Whatever your decision is, let it happen. Ah. Job will sit down in that condition, sometimes in his pain, and he will be saying, Igbagbogbo salayo mi. Igbagbogbo salayo mi o. Satani lo ni banuje o. Igbagbogbo salayo mi. In the midst of his pain, while he's crying, ndini ne babara ni meji ova. Adi kugu Zion, adi ebo chiga onodha, rembe bi ebi, ugu Zion, otua kaji oba, bara ndi ogige. There are times where the consciousness of God's protection will be upon Job. At other times, the mind will wander and Job will say, God, where are you? So there's a contradiction. At some times, he will feel God. At some other times, he will not feel. Even when I don't see it, you are working. Even when I don't feel it, you are working. You never stop. You never stop working.
You never stop. You never stop. Whoa.
Why am I going through this sickness? Why? And God is saying there's a healing evangelist inside of you. You must break through this sickness and bring forth the power that is unleashed inside of you. Why am I going through this pain? And it looks as if I'm so dull and nothing is coming out. He said there is an hidden intelligence inside of you, so that your story will be told and men will know that it is not of him that willeth, or of him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. Whenever we ask our why, God has answers, but he doesn't have to say everything. He doesn't have to say everything. God did not speak for once all through the season. Then when Job got to the point where he started questioning some things, he started sounding, then God showed up and he said, Job, where are you? Come out. Let's talk. By that time, Satan had given up on Job, because Job refused to give up, fall for Satan. Job did not fall for everything Satan was. He had done everything. He said, don't just touch his soul. And as long as he was still alive, Job was just alive. That all he had, life. That was all. He had lost everything. God kept his wife so that seeds will come again. For everything there is a reason. He lost all. He didn't lose his wife. And he didn't lose the soil where another life come from. Even when you think you have lost all, you have lost everything, there is something still remaining. In the story of Job, you can see that there are certain things in the life of Job. His wife was still there to cook and to care for him and to do things. She said, curse God and die. He said, foolish woman, shut up. Just keep doing your work. Let's continue. Let's continue. He said, I know my Redeemer lives, and on the last day, he will say, you need to understand, these are men who serve God with conviction. These are men who serve God with an understanding. And they did not doubt God. So why is it that sometimes you look at the situations and it's as if good things are happening? Number one possible explanation, whenever God is silent during difficult times, write it down. Number one, it might be a test of faith. It might be a test of faith. It might be a test of faith. In the end of everything, we see how Job's faith was tested and eventually it was strengthened. And the Bible says the latter end of Job was greater than his beginning. The Bible now explained Job's life and said that the things that Job had after that season of pain and sorrow, the Bible says it was about 7 times more than what he had before. Job never knew his life would turn around. If Job had cursed God and died, that would have been the end. But Job waited. And that's why he wrote in the book of Job 14:14. Put it there. Job 14:14. Look at what Job said. Look at what he said in the book of Job. Look at it. Job 14:14. If a man die, shall he live again? He said, all the days of my hard service, I will wait till my change comes. He knew that the change will come. He knew that the season will turn. He knew that everything will turn around in his favor. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what anybody might be going through here. And it's as if God is silent. What if God is saying that's a test? He said, what kind of test did he say? Look at Job's own. It was a test. Now, Abraham was old and was chicken in age. He ceased to be with Sarah according to the manner of women. And God promised a man that he will have a child at age 70. And at 99, nothing has showed up. 25 years of waiting. What kind of God are you? And after he gave birth to the child, he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Life is a test to God. Sometimes we cannot explain. That is why when you look at certain things happening around a believer, he said, rejoice not over me, O my enemies. Rejoice not over me, O my enemies. For though I fall, I will rise again. The righteous man might fall 7 times, but he will rise. You don't mock a believer when they are in their low moments. You don't mock a child of God when they are in a season you cannot explain. The best you can do is to keep quiet and intercede on their behalf. Because things will turn around again. Things will turn around again. One day they will sing their song. Storm is over. Storm is over now. And I can see the sunshine. Yeah. Say, Pastor, that's R. Kelly. Yes, yes, I don't understand what you're talking about. All I know is that the Bible says from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, his name will be glorious. And the storm can rage, but God will rise on this other side and you will see your Redeemer standing. And he will open his hand wide and he say, give me a hug, Mavis. You just overcame. You have crossed the line. You have fought the good fight. You have kept your faith. Many people stumbled on this same path, but you did not fall. I don't know how many people are stumbling, but tell yourself, whatever is happening, I see it first as what? A test. And I'm going to pass my test. Why God, my mom? Why God, my dad? Why God, my sister? Why? He was serving you. They were serving you. Hey, listen. How will Aaron explain his children that were carrying the Ark of Covenant and he was about to fall and they wanted to help to hold the Ark and the boys died? And David said, carry the ark back to Obed-Edom's house. The killer ark cannot come to my house. How will the man, the priest that day will go back home, not Aaron here now, the priest will go back home, and when he goes back, he will be wondering, shall they help God by? What kind of God is he? My son just wanted to help. We are in time. In the sight of God, time is so short. Your 80 years is like this, close and open. So everything that happens in the fickling, fading time, they are not as tangible as your eternal destiny secured in him. He is more conscious of the eternal than what is happening in time. Time is only a preparation for eternity. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? That's number one. Number two, another reason sometimes when God is silent, it could be that God is trying to teach you how to depend on him, even when you don't feel him, even when you don't see him, even when you cannot sense him. Sometimes God is saying, learn how to depend on me. Learn how to rely on me. Learn how to put your faith in me. So you're saying, God is saying, we are in a test. This is the class called faith. Every one of us will go through our faith class. All of us go through our faith journey. You go through your patience journey. You go through all your journeys as a believer. Listen, if you pass the class, you will come to the other side. He said, he that overcometh, and he that overcometh, and he that overcometh shall wear the crown of life. Not everybody will wear the crown. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. So the second reason is that God might be trying your faith. Are you hearing me now? Number one is what? The test of what? Faith. Number two is how you trust him, your trust that you have in God. Yes. It is always important that you remember that in the midst of God's silence, he has never left you. He has never forsaken you. Look at Job. God was just standing and waiting. Look at Abraham. God was just standing and waiting. Look at, just read all of them. Look at David. Look at Joseph. Going through that kind of season. And everything was happening. And he was a slave and everything. And God was just standing and watching and waiting. Child of God, God is just watching and waiting. Don't give up.
Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
He's able.
There are people who lost a lot, but the fact that they have still life, they have hope. And even when we lose our lives, we transit to eternity. Then life is more beautiful because I will see him face to face. I will be able to hug him and I will be able to say the journey is over. And now let me wear my crown. And I can imagine Jesus carrying it and he say, Mavis, come over. Kanamas kopraba. I will evaporate. I will diffuse. I will fade. As soon as the crown touches my, it will just fall on the ground. God will say, ah, Mavis da. I say, God, oh my father, I have evaporated. I cannot stand the crown. Child of God, do not be afraid. God is with you. Next week, I will answer another question. I have 3 questions. Hopefully, next week, I'll be able to answer another of the 2 questions. And one of the questions I will answer next week is, if God is really loving, why is evil happening in the world? War. Why are things happening if God is really loving? Then I'll ask the question also, how do we approach people who deny the existence of God? How do we approach them? How do we teach them? How do we help them find answers? Have you been blessed by today's teaching? Have you learned anything in today's class? Go back home and be strong. Face the storm and tell the storm, you cannot kill me. There's nothing that happens here that makes everything end. Life doesn't end here. Life starts when it ends here. Always remember, life starts when it ends here. If you are living in this world and it's only in this world you have hope in God, the Bible says you are of all men most miserable. May the Lord bless his word. Can you just say, Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for interpretation. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us understanding. Thank you for the interpretation of your word. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for light. Thank you because this is the season of discipleship where your sons and daughters are growing in the knowledge of your word. Thank you for enlightening our hearts. Thank you for showing us things that we need to see, things that we need to know. Thank you, Father. We have not yet seen the whole picture. We have just seen a little bit of it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If there's anybody in church today, you have not accepted Jesus genuinely in your heart as your Lord and Savior, while every other person bows your head and you begin to give God thanks, I want you to raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you tonight. You want to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your personal Savior. Raise your hand wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you.
I surrender all. And I surrender all, and all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Can you say with me, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare today I am born again, saved and sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now listen to me. If you made that confession, now after the service, I'll be waiting right here in front. Please, as soon as the service is over, I want to meet with you personally. I want to meet you personally. God has given us a mandate everywhere, all across all our expressions, every time we record our souls. 1 million souls, 100 churches, 10 years. 1 million souls, 100 churches in 10 years. Somebody say 1 million souls, 100 churches in 10 years. That's the baseline of the vision. 1 million souls, 100 churches in 10 years. We're going to start the vision campaign very soon, and all of us will push it with all our passion. Pastors will rise. Yes, directors from different continents of the world will rise. I see them already. I see them in the US. I see them in Canada. I see them in Europe. I see them everywhere around the world. Sons and daughters are rising with their heart burning with the passion to push this truth. And the Lord will position you strategically. You will not miss your slot. In Jesus' name. So I'll take the question. Any question? 1 or 2 questions. Then we'll close.
Thank you very much, Pastor, sir.
Yeah.
Good evening, church. Sir, please, I want to ask, what is the counsel of God In regards to scientific advancement as touching development of a new planet, we see that for the past few years now, scientists have been exploring the possibilities of we transcending to Mars, and they've been sending them drones and all of those things, and they can see that the planet is like a little bit habitable and all of that. I'm trying to understand, does it relate to the new heaven and the new earth that I've read about in scripture, or what is the exact, how do we place that?
You just said new heaven and new earth. He said new heaven and new Mars or Pluto or Uranus or Venus. Perhaps you need to also understand that in the wisdom of God, the Bible did not clearly talk about all those multiple planets, naming them. Is that not? The Bible did not talk about all those multiple planets, naming them like that. Is the Bible? Maybe it's possible, you know. Check. I don't know. I'm not very sure. The Bible talks about heavenly bodies. Is that not? Yes, but who named the planets? Huh? Who named the planets? The one that God named is what? Heaven and the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So everything in the sphere of the heavens, they are the territory of God. Everything in the sphere that God calls earth, they are within the territory of men. What if God calls Mars earth and man is the one calling it Mars? You are the one calling it whatever you have called it. What if in the eyes of God, what you call Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus is an extension of earth bodies in the sight of God. And he has said we should dominate the earth. Anywhere you see man reach, God has allowed man to reach. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Anywhere men reach, God allow men to do what? Reach. When their time comes, like the Tower of Babel, do you understand? When the time comes, like the Tower of Babel, you will just see everything happen. And you're like, wow, seriously? The world has come to an end. The language will be confused. Then we enter a new world with a new language. You see those people in the Tower of Babel, their world came to what? An end. A new world was created. People scattered in different places. When time it goes like this, the world will come to what? An end. Some will go to hell, a new world. We will go to heaven, a new world. Life will continue. One more question. Okay. You don't know who to give. I don't even know who to give it. But we've given a male. Let's give a female. Male, female. Let's be even. No gender imbalance.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Asking as a philosopher.
Yeah, philosopher.
There's a philosophical saying, it said, est est a percipi, to be is to be perceived.
Ah, postero, posterior.
Yes, to be is to be perceived.
So what does that mean?
A posterior is like past, posterior is like
present.
Present.
I need a little bit of philosophy anyway.
So I want to ask, you said something, you were like, if we want to know God, we know him through evidence. And speaking empirically, because an empiricist is saying they need evidence.
Empiricists say what?
They need evidence,
yes,
for everything you say. They, yeah, need evidence. But for the rationality, they'll say, it's in the mind. The mind, believes. But they, yeah, will say they need evidence. And I'm an empiricist. So okay. I want to ask empirically, if you say we know God through nature, I didn't get that part when you said we know God through nature. How do we know God through nature? And so if you don't mind, I'll need scriptural evidence.
And why do you want scriptural evidence? You are an empiricist. You don't need scriptural evidence.
No, we need scriptural evidence because to back up the claim.
The problem is that you are saying you are an empiricist. No,
empiricist.
You are a Christian and the just live by faith.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Christianity is a faith walk. In other words, we believe. Evidence or no evidence, I believe. I've been sentenced to a life of belief.
Okay.
That's a Christian. But we use our sense because we have sense. Are we here together? We do not lose our senses because we believe. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So if you are saying, just like somebody say, I'm a realist. I'm not a realist.
Yeah.
I'm a faithist, if there's anything like that. Do you get what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith because some of the things you call reality, they will evaporate in the sight of faith. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? So faith is the sixth sense. It is the ultimate sense. And that's why the just lives by faith. But anyway, if somebody says they need evidence, like what I'm saying here, it's very clear. What evidence do you need?
On the aspect of nature, I did not get the part. That's why I want to understand. Because if I'm to say to somebody that we can know God through nature, they will want to know how.
Nature, that's what I just said now. The things that you see, we know that everything you see happening in nature, for instance, the water cycle, as everything goes around like that and it comes back, there's an explanation to everything, is that not?
Yes,
and we are saying
is.
That there is an intelligent being that organized it in nature. I'm saying
being.
That the human being, as a human being, like physical like that, everything working inside of your system, that there is an intelligent being that created it. So when they say, what is the proof that there's an intelligent being that created it? Well, maybe you can bring knife and cut your throat. Then we will see the proof, whether you see be alive. Abby?
I guess so.
There's all the proofs to everything. So whatever it is you want to prove, you want to prove the rain and the sun, whether it is real and all that, and everything like that, then Elijah will show up one day and say, for 3.5 years, there will be no rain. You'll be looking for your proof. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now?
Yes, sir,
so that's what I'm saying, that scriptures, the power of God will beat human evidences. But it does not negate the fact that there are proofs that can be seen. And I've shown us also that the plant world, the animal world, human beings, and everything around shows that the way things are done in a calculated manner, there is an intelligent being that worked it out. Look at the ants. They do not do anything. But they are organized. They have families. They live in a colony. How do you explain that? Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Yes.
So philosophically, how will you explain that?
Philosophers, I'm a Christian, but I'll still say it. We still shallowly cut. If we are to bring it to a philosopher, the likes of René Descartes and the Aristotle, Plato, they will want to understand how it goes. And they want to understand.
That is the explanation I just gave you now. That's the explanation I gave you. That they should empty the ocean inside the hole or inside the cup.
Yes.
The best that the cup can take is just a bit of the water from the ocean. Aristotle, in his all his intelligence, Socrates, in all his intelligence, at best, what they hold is less than 5% of their mind have been used self. To show the intelligence that God put inside the mind, there are 14 billion cells in your brain. When Elon Musk used the chip and put inside the human recently, they had to connect through they cannot use hand to get it. Doctors cannot use it. They use specialized machines to trace out single fibers of the human brain and connect them to those chips for them to be able to do those calculations. Who gave them that intelligence? A superior being is somewhere. Because even the Elon one day, man will come and go. We will continue to talk about God.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to stop there because of time. Some other time we're going to be able to talk more in the things of God. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.